Good afternoon. If you want to follow along for the scripture reading this afternoon, you can turn to Proverbs, the third chapter, beginning with verse 5 through verse 8. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Thank you, Al, for that reading. Thanks, Jim, for our songs. This evening, we're going to be studying a lesson called The Folly of Fools, and it's taken from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, when we think about that book, we typically say, well, if we're looking for the book of wisdom, we go to the book of Proverbs. Because in that book, there are proverb after proverb. There's a great deal said about wisdom. Wisdom is defined. Wisdom is talked about in reference to how one might attain wisdom. But it's also interesting that in the book of Proverbs, 139 times, in fact, fool, fools, foolishness is also talked about in the book of Proverbs. And the reason for that is sometimes in the attempt to define something, the best way to define a concept or to define an idea is to give the opposite of that. And if you can grasp the opposite of that, then you're beginning to get the idea of what wisdom must be. We use that term, fool, in our society, and we don't use it in a good way. But it doesn't carry with it the same seriousness and connotation that it did in the Old Testament. In no way, in no how, did you want to be mistaken for a fool. Because those who act like fools, Solomon said, Proverbs 13 and verse 16, that it is folly. The folly of fools, in fact, is where we get the title of our lesson from. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. In the book of Proverbs, there are three categories of people that's talked about as you look at that book. It's not surprising that you see those that are talked about that are wise and that demonstrate wisdom. And wisdom has a variety of words that's used. We just read in Proverbs 13 and verse 16, prudence. Prudence is another word that's used interchangeably with wisdom. And this idea of having an understanding of what is the correct way in which one needs to act, the proper decisions and choices that one needs to make, the carefulness that one needs to conduct their lives. That's wisdom. There's another group in God's Word, and that's the simple and the naive. They don't really fit into the wisdom. They don't really fit into foolishness. They're just simple. They're naive. They're not quite either one. It's not my mic. I'm good. Okay. That was it. Thanks, Kenny. And the Bible talks a lot about these individuals. Or Proverbs does, about being simple or about being naive. But then there is the foolish heart. And what's interesting about these three categories, if you will, you have basically either side of the graph. You have one side wise, clear on the other side is foolish. And then somewhere in between you've got the simple and the naive that on the basis of the choices they're going to make will determine which way they go. Are they wise or are they foolish? It is interesting in looking at this term foolish that Unger's Bible Dictionary, and taking that word fool, He said the word is used in Scripture with respect to moral more than intellectual deficiencies. We're not saying that someone is stupid. We're not saying that someone is dumb. We're not saying that someone is retarded. We're not saying that someone has an intellectual deficiency of some sort. We're not saying that their IQ is low. In fact, they may have the very opposite of that. They may be very intelligent. They may have a very high IQ. But according to the Bible, they still may be classified as a fool. And in Unger's Bible Dictionary, he talks about this fact. The Scripture, when it uses the word fool, is not talking about an intellect, an intelligence. It's talking about the moral choices that man makes. The fool is not so much one lacking in mental powers as in one who misuses them. In Scripture, the fool is the person who cast off the fear of God and thinks and acts as if he could safely disregard the eternal principles of God's righteousness. As if that may apply to everybody else, but it won't apply to me. And so it's not surprising then that in Wilson's Old Testament word studies, he said the word fool is one who acts without counsel. I don't need counsel. I don't need wisdom. I don't need help because the rules don't apply to me. One who acts without counsel and whose will is too hard for his understanding. He hath no reason for what he doth, but because he hath a mind to do it. Most of the time, when a fool is questioned, there will be reasons in his mind. There will be a rationalization. There will be a justification for it. Now, so far as it connecting with what the choice was made, no. That doesn't make any sense. And thus why he's called a fool. But it's interesting that Wilson says in his dictionary that it's one who acts without counsel. And he acts as if it's just too hard to understand, can't be bothered with it, and so I'm just going to go my own way because I know what's best for me anyway. Let me ask you, have you ever acted like a fool? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 32, near the very end of the book of Proverbs, if you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. The point the writer is making, we've all done that. There's no one that can say, I've never put your hand on your mouth. You can't make that statement. Everyone at some point in time has done something foolish. And to say, well, I've never done anything foolish, just gave you the very thing that you're saying you haven't done. You just did something foolish by trying to make that claim. And so the writer of Proverbs even acknowledges, if you try to say you've never done anything foolish, you better just put your hand on your mouth and don't even say that, because you've done that. So how is it then that Proverbs describes a fool? And we're going to spend the rest of our time on this matter. How is it that Solomon looked at a fool? Well, it's not surprising that when we look at this, that the fool has a unique perspective on himself, and that is, he's the authority. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, Solomon says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. There is always a reason. There is always a justification. There is always a rationalization. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody like that. That everything that's been done, and even if what was done was wrong, and even if they would say that what was done was wrong, but you can understand why I would do it, which therefore actually rationalizes, justifies, and really proves that it really wasn't wrong. They trust in themselves. Solomon said, the one that is wise is always right in his own eyes. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who trusts in the Lord, but he walks wisely, will be delivered. I am the sum total of my experiences. But my experiences are limited to me. And that creates a problem. Because I've not experienced everything. And because I've not experienced everything, then I'm not wise enough to really be able to say, well, I think I know what's best. There's no way that I can trust in myself because I have to lean upon the counsel of others who have gone down a path, who have gone down a way that I've not gone down before, or who in a situation that I'm approaching, that I'm faced with, I've not maybe faced that before. I need to be willing to listen. And that's the point that Solomon's making. He who walks wisely will be delivered. The wise man is not the man that trusts in himself. He's the man that's willing to listen. 26 and 5. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. One of the first problems with the fool is he's the authority. He trusts in himself. Which then leads to a second problem. If he's trusting in himself and he's only listening to himself and he's got it all figured out and he's right in his own eyes, then guess what he's going to be deaf to? He's going to be deaf to any instruction, any counsel that's counter to what he already knows. Remember talking to anybody like that? They're so sure of what they're doing. They know they're wise in their own eyes. And as a result of that, you can talk till you're blue in the face. And it won't do you any good. My dad used to say you could talk to that fence post and that'll do you about as much good as talking to that kind of a fellow. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, notice how that Solomon acknowledges this very thing. And it's interesting that he begins the book very early on with this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? Well, because they don't need it. They're wise in their own eyes. They don't need any instruction. They don't need any counsel. In chapter 15 and verse 5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Chapter 23 and verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. He's not listening. He's deaf to instruction. 24 and verse 7. Wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. Near the end of the book of Proverbs are two things that's mentioned that I thought was kind of interesting. Two comparisons are made. He said in verse 7 of chapter 26, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You ever seen anyone that's lame? The legs are, they're useless. Whether they're paralyzed or whether they're crippled, the muscle atrophy that you see that they're in the way. They're good for nothing. And the wise man said, you know, legs to a lame man, they're about as beneficial as a proverb in the mouth of a fool. He just is not going to listen. Look in verse 9. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Doesn't even know it, unfazed by it. How many times individuals that get inebriated to a point of passing out and then wake up the next morning and not know what's happened to them, not know how they got that bruise, not know how they got that hurt. That's what Solomon's talking about. Not know there's a thorn in his hand, had no idea of what's happening. Well, that's about the picture of a foolish man that has a proverb in his mouth. It does him no good, no benefit whatsoever. And so as a result of that, a man that is a fool is described in God's Word in Proverbs as you just can't discipline him. You can't train him. Discipline in the sense of not taking him over your knee and whipping him, not in that sense, in the sense of training. If he trusts in himself and he won't listen to instruction, then how are you going to train someone? How are you going to discipline them? How are you going to instruct them and guide them and lead them and take them in the direction that they need to go? How are you going to be beneficial? You're not, because they already know nothing you can say that's going to change their mind. And everything that you try to tell them, they're not going to listen to. They're deaf to your instruction. They don't hear it. And even if they have the proverb, it'll do them as much good as a thorn in the hand of a drunk man and the legs of the lame. It won't have any impact upon them whatsoever. And so thus, he can't be trained. Proverbs talks about this. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid, is what the American Standard says. In chapter 16 and verse 22, understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. How would you like to have that as your task? Okay, here's your task. We're going to give you this room full of fools, and we want you to train them. Solomon says, never happened. Chapter 17 and verse 10. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Now think about the comparison that's being made there. A verbal rebuke to one man, and that has the impact. That has the training aspect. To another man, you could beat him 100 times and he still not get the message. He still not get the point. That's the idea of a fool. He can't be trained. So as a result of that, his life is described in the book of Proverbs. Because he trusts in himself, because he's deaf to instruction, because he can't be trained, can't be disciplined, then look how Solomon describes his life. His life is careless. The things that he could have been warned about, the things that he could have avoided, he doesn't avoid. He lives carelessly, because he's ignoring the places wherein he might receive instruction. Look how Solomon describes this in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. How careless is that, brethren? To look at sin, to look at the temptation, to look at the danger, to look at the problem, to look at whatever it might be, to look at that, and to mock at that. You're living a careless, careless life. Verse 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is arrogant and careless. And with bravado, he goes right on into the situation. It doesn't matter that he has been warned. It doesn't matter that he has been told. It doesn't matter that he's been admonished. It doesn't matter, because he's wise in his own eyes. He knows what's best. He's not going to listen to any instruction. He's going to go headlong into that. And as a result of that, you can't train him. You can't veer him away from that. And so as a result of that, he mocks at the fact that you think there's a problem. And he lives a life of carelessness. Chapter 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Here's a second problem. And this, I tell you, this comes up all of the time in reference to striving to help individuals be more godly in their life. And that is, fools are self-destructive. How many times have you said, you know, that guy's his own worst enemy? Well, you've just described a fool. Because a fool is self-destructive. What you've described is, that fella, if he would get out of his own way, sometimes we'll word it that way, if he could just get out of his own way, things would do well. He doesn't realize that he is his own worst enemy. Solomon describes it as he's just self-destructive. Look what he says in chapter 11 and verse 29. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. Solomon acknowledges the fact that there's an individual who troubles his own house. And what happens when you're the problem? When you trouble your own house? Well, you inherit the wind, and the house that you had, you lose, and as a result of that, you end up being, what does the verse say? A servant to someone else. You destroy the very thing that you had. Now, you might look at the situation and you might say, well, if that hadn't happened, or if this hadn't happened, or if that hadn't happened, or if this circumstance would have been different, or if this situation would have turned out a little bit different, and all of that, all of those things may have been contributing factors, but the ultimate source of the problem was the fact that you were a fool and you brought down your own house. You were your own worst enemy. Chapter 14 and verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. I don't know that you can elaborate much on that one. The foolish man just tears down their own house. They are self-destructive. Is it surprising then when a man is wise in his own eyes, when they won't receive instruction, when they can't be disciplined, they can't be trained, is it surprising then that they end up being self-destructive? Not in the least. And so as a result of that, what happens? He gets mad. When things don't go the fool's way, guess what? It's everybody else's fault. And they get mad at everybody else. They get mad at the situation. They get mad at the people in the situation. And they lose their cool. They lose their cool because they don't recognize they are their own problems. Their carelessness has led them to where they're at. Their self-destructive ways have taken them down this path. And what they end up and do is not look at themselves in the mirror. They don't look at themselves and say, well, you know what? I thought I was wise in this. They never reevaluate their position. They never reevaluate themselves. Instead, they lash out at those who have attempted to help them, attempted to guide them, or they lash out at those who they think are the reason for their terrible demise. And so they lose their cool. Chapter 14 and verse 29, he who is slow to anger has greater understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Chapter 29 and verse 11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. One of the problems with the foolish man in being careless and being self-destructive and losing his temper, and one of the problems as to why he has difficulty listening, is because he won't stop talking. That's the way Solomon describes it. The fool prefers to talk rather than to listen. Because what you have to say is not as important as what he has to say, because he's right. Remember, he's operating from this standpoint. He's right in his own eyes. So if I'm right, there's nothing that you have to say that is differing from what I believe that's going to be right, because I know I'm right because I'm right in my own eyes. And so as a result of that, I don't need to listen to you because I'm right. I don't need to hear your counsel, because I'm right. I don't need to be trained by you. I've trained myself, and I know that it's right, because I'm right in my own eyes. And so as a result of that, I'm doing all the talking, and I don't do much of the listening. 18 and 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say, but you should be interested in hearing what I have to say. The fool is interested in revealing his own mind. Verse 13, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. I already know. I've already figured it out. I'm right in my own mind. I don't need to hear the evidence. I don't need to hear anything from you. I've got it all figured out. I'm right in my own sight. And so as a result of that, I don't need to hear anything. I've already made a judgment. That's terrible when individuals act in such a way and prefer to talk rather than to listen. How many times would things have been very different? Look in chapter 12 and verse 23. Here's the problem when the fool talks. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of the fools, what does it proclaim? Folly. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The mouth of fools spouts what? Folly. Look in chapter or verse 14. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on what? I could almost make you all sad because you've got it down now. Folly. Feeds on folly. So even when he speaks, what he speaks is the speech of what? Of a fool. Is it surprising then when you've got a man that's right in his own eyes, when you've got a man that won't receive instruction, when you've got a man that can't be trained, and that as a result of that, his life is careless, it's one of self-destructive, he gets mad when things don't go his way, and when things start crumbling around him, he's mad at everybody else, he prefers to talk, and he prefers to justify and to rationalize and explain, he prefers to explain why all these things are happening to him, he prefers to do all of this rather than listen to valid reasons why these things are happening. Is it any wonder then that Solomon says, in the end, what he ends up doing is just committing evil? He does what he shouldn't have done. It's not just a poor choice. He ends up doing what is evil. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes and the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Look in chapter 13 and verse 19. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. 14 and 19. The evil will bow down before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Verse 9, I should have read the wrong verse. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. And so as a result of all these things, you kind of knew we would end up here. Guess what? Solomon says, unfortunately, he is virtually unchangeable. There's just, what do you do? How do you appeal to him? Now, it doesn't mean that you don't try. Even Solomon tried. Look in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5. Solomon said, O naive ones, understand prudence. O fools, understand wisdom. Even Solomon, though he's going to go on to explain the fact that the possibility of them changing is not very good, but that doesn't mean that you don't try. And so Solomon, at the very beginning of his book, he's pleading with the fools, look, I'm going to have a lot to say about foolishness. I'm going to have a lot to say about fools. And a lot of these things are going to be applicable to you. I'm pleading with you to listen to these things. Understand these things. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. He is virtually unchangeable, but it doesn't mean that we don't try. Look at how the Bible describes, or Solomon describes, the unchangeable nature of a fool. Proverbs 17 and verse 12. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. In other words, you have more hope of getting out of that situation of a bear robbed of her cubs than you have of getting out of a situation with a fool in his folly. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 22. Though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Let me give you the Adonis Bailey version of that. You can grind him to powder, but you still end up with a fool. You're just not, he's determined not to have that driven out. 26 and verse 11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. It makes no sense. Now, Peter uses that in reference to someone that's been saved and then goes back. This is like the dog that returns to his vomit, and it comes from this passage. But that's a description of foolishness. We look at that in the 2 Peter chapter 2 passage and we recognize, how could someone who have an understanding of salvation, how could someone know their soul is saved, how could someone recognize that they have now hope and then turn back and leave that? That makes as much sense as a dog expelling that which was causing him problems only to turn and eat it again. And so this is what Solomon says. Well, that's about also like a fool who repeats his folly. In other words, he never learns his lesson. He never figures out the fact that, you know, I've been there, done that, and got this result. I'll just do it again that way. He never gets the point that it's going to turn out the same way. Because you can't change him. In chapter 26 and verse 12, or 29 and 20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, I didn't list all the passages, but there are several passages in God's Word or in Proverbs that Solomon uses that same phrase, there is more hope for a fool than for him. And the point that he's saying is, there's not much hope. And that only works because there's no hope with the fool. The opportunity to change a fool is just not there. According to Proverbs, this is the folly of fools. Have you acted in any of these ways? You know, it may be that your life isn't one of folliness and foolishness. But we can get in situations where we act like a fool. And if we stay in those situations and never listen to the counsel and never take the advice and always think that we're right and get mad at everybody else, we'll never learn and we'll never change. And if we have the somehow mistaken notion that if we keep doing the same things that we've always done and been getting the results that we didn't really want, but if we'll keep doing that, somehow it'll eventually turn out that way, then we are fooling ourselves. And we are following in the very path that Solomon's laid out for us. You know, at any given time, we can have moments of foolishness, if you will. And what we have to make sure is that those moments are moments. They can't be the path. They can't be the standard. They can't be that which becomes my habit. They've just got to be a momentary lapse of judgment and I get back to doing what I need to do. Solomon has a great deal to say about wisdom. But Solomon has a great deal to say about fools as well. Take your psalm books out, turn them to the number that's been selected. If you're here this evening, your life is not what it needs to be.